Kicking off hour number three of the program here from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. 2 hours on college football.
Scheduling.
Yeah. What else is there? Somebody was talking about the Braves yesterday, and I was like, I can't even name the lineup. Is that bad?
They're first.
Well, I know. That's why we were talking
about
it.
Way to alienate half the audience, Hodges. Good job.
I don't think half the audience cares that much about it.
But they're Braves fans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up a Braves fan. I could probably name the 91 roster, top to bottom. Just not now. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll restart. I did stay up super late and watch Tennessee choke away a game at Missouri last night on the diamond. That was frustrating. That was very Vols-esque.
Wow, you're really bringing it down for hour three.
Well,
really excited to be sitting here for the next hour with
you. They've still got a shot. If they win this series, they're in the SEC tournament. It'll be a great first season accomplishment.
But they got to win the next. And this is this the last series
it's
headed
the
into?
Final series.
They got to win it to be in it.
Tonight and tomorrow, they came into the series one game ahead of Missouri. The announcers, I haven't gone to the standings pages and looked at all the tiebreakers and stuff, but the announcers kept saying, whoever wins this series will most likely be in the SEC tournament. So I'm not sure what the contingency is on if somebody, but because if Missouri wins the series 2-1, obviously they'd be tied in the standings. So I'm assuming Missouri has some type of tiebreaker that there's some minuscule chance could maybe flip Tennessee's way depending on what all the other SEC series do. But the way the announcers were talking about who gets in the SEC tournament, it seemed like a almost certainty that whoever wins the series in Columbia, Missouri this weekend gets into the SEC tournament. And just a reminder, if you guys aren't big SEC baseball people, the top 12 get into the tournament.
So strange.
So we're trying – Tennessee is trying to be not dead last or next to last in the SEC. That's the goal here.
Did they make that switch once they added Texas A&M and Missouri? Didn't everybody just used to make it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I don't know if it used to be 10 or 8 or if it was always 12 and they just went to kept it 12 when they're 14 teams. They've even changed, I think, the format of it a little bit. But I could be wrong on that as well.
I don't know if you guys want to get into this, but just talking about expanding, did you see that the ACC has put forth a proposal to expand the NCAA tournament to 72 teams?
Do we really need more teams in the basketball tournament?
No, it does.
Why do they want?
Well, now that the 16s won, maybe the 17s are thinking they got a shot.
If you're the ACC,
it's a blowout. Yeah, it's a blowout. Maybe they had a point.
ACC wants it because they have 27 teams in their basketball conference.
Yeah, right? they know that would be an extra spot or two for them.
It's all about money.
What's their proposal? That two of the new four teams are from Power 5 teams and two more? Or is it that all four out? It's got to be all four at large, right? Because you wouldn't have any. The reason they initially went to it is because you had new conferences popping up that needed a slot. So this is the ACC trying to get four more opportunities for their conference to get in, I'm sure. But no, we don't need more teams in the NCAA tournament.
That'd be four more teams total.
That's what I said.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I still in my mind, like, think it's just 64 teams. Like, I keep forgetting about the play-in games.
Yeah. Who cares? ACC, quit, you know. Your good teams get in. That's all you need to know. Did you see that Tua said he would have transferred if he hadn't played in the national title game, Houston?
I wish he would have. That would have been cool.
I wanted to
I am
leave.
Glad he came in to beat Georgia, though, but I would have much rather had him transfer out.
We decided Alabama winning that game was best for Tennessee. I mean, it was a pretty negligible.
I mean,
it was
the lesser of two really evils.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think, like I've said before, Bama's cup is already full. Like, they can't really put any more water in it. Georgia has room to get better. Anything that slows down that progress, I'm for it.
I think this is great news for Tennessee, because I was worried that Alabama had found some players that were so unselfish that they could actually just stick it out, play together, that Alabama's quarterbacks were going to be like the new Alabama running backs that would just come in. And like I was envisioning like 8 years from now, you know, Dabo Sweeney's at Alabama, and he's got three good quarterbacks every year, and they, like, rotate within the game, and, you know, they've just, like, completely changed it. I'm glad to know that even the best quarterbacks in college football still are all about, you know, I got to play, and I'm not going to wait. And I mean, it's not like Tua was a senior. It's not like he was even a junior. He said, even throughout my football season, I wasn't the starter. I wanted to leave the school, so I told myself if I didn't play in the last game, which was the national championship game, I would transfer out. If I gave
in. Was he a redshirt freshman or a true freshman?
He was true, right?
I couldn't remember.
So I'm just
he
glad.
He played against Vanderbilt. What more do you want?
Played against Tennessee.
Yeah, you played against
the
bad
pick
teams.
Six, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure he threw the pick six against Tennessee.
Take that, Tua.
Maybe not.
No, I think you're right. Might have been Hurts. I can't remember.
If I didn't play in the last game, I would train. How selfish do you have to be to if I don't play in the national championship game, I'm out of here. I mean, think about that.
No. Nate, he's just saying, like, if I can't play, I'm gone. Like, I want to play. He's a football player. He wants to play football. Why? He's only a year behind the guy in front of him. Like, why is that a bad thing?
His argument was that he was outperforming Jalen Hurts in practice, and he just didn't feel like Saban was giving him a fair chance. He's like, I'm better than this guy. And, I mean, I think we all agree that Tua is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
He's a different quarterback, but, yeah. I mean, passing the ball is important, then, yeah.
And so I guess with the situation they were in the national championship, if he did not get in with Georgia being up on Bama, then he's like, you know what? Hurts is just going to have the opportunity again next year. I don't really see much of a reason to me being here. I can just go back closer to home.
Well, I mean, that's different than what I was kind of throwing out there as a hypothetical. I mean, if you're a quarterback that's always been the number two, like, you're not just going to become the number one for the national title game unless there's a reason. And obviously there was a reason, because he had been better than Jalen Hurts at practice.
Mm-hmm.
And Lane Kiffin even said that the day after the game on the Dan Patrick show. He said, you know, Tua thought he was better, and Saban wasn't giving him a chance. So it looks like it was just in the nick of time for Saban in the title game. Let's go to the phone lines. Davey, give me the elongated Khaleesi-style title.
It's just
of this
Wolverine
caller.
Rumor mill. Bring him on.
Yep.
Wolverine rumor mill.
He has a bone to pick with Houston, apparently.
Oh, great.
Let's hear it. Wolverine.
What was it? Oh, is it because I knocked Ann Arbor?
Well, that's part of the reason. Here I am. I was going to call in today to commiserate with you boys about two mighty football programs, not now in the dumps. I was going to call and commiserate. Matter of fact, I'm a Vols fan second, so it hurts me a little bit to see the Vols struggling.
We appreciate
and then
that.
Houston goes
Wolverine.
And does it. And I've considered Houston one of the great football minds of this generation.
Wow.
And then he goes and says it. That he would rather watch a game in Madison, Wisconsin, or Vegas in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I mean,
do you sit in the club seats
it's
when
Vegas.
You go to games too?
Wait, hey, what? What?
Do you sit in the club seats when you go to games too? I mean, that's what that comment reminds me of.
Oh, you really kind of pinned me here. That's a really good point. Here I am saying I love the pageantry, and now Fair enough. No, Camp Randall's good. Camp Randall's a good. That's a collegiate stadium. That's a good one.
It is. It's a small stadium, but it's a good one. It is.
Mr. Big House with the he just
they're all small.
He just flopped it out on you right there.
It's a cute little 90,000.
He just flopped it out with a tape measure beside it and said, "This is the actual size. Let's see yours, big boy."
It's a cute little thing.
Hey, when you're not winning games, you got to hold on to something. Stadium size is all I've got right now.
This is my favorite call of the week.
Yeah, that's why I don't want the damn club seats to go in kneeling. I need that 100,000, damn it.
I hear you. You cannot. Shrinkage is out of the question.
No, shrinkage.
No, can't go to five
no
digits.
No shrinkage.
No five digits here. Got to have all six.
No, in reality, I'd like to see a game in Ann Arbor someday. But right now, like, I know you're sad about the trajectory of Michigan football, at least not excited with where it is. They'd still kick the snot out of Tennessee right now. So I don't want to go up there and watch my team get blasted.
Here's the thing. It's still not – 9 wins isn't good enough. It's not good enough. And it's not going to be good enough here either. Eventually.
Right.
But, well, that's it, boys. I'm going to crack open a bottle of wine here. And get my weekend on.
Thanks for the call, for Wolverine. The call. Appreciate it.
Roberto agrees
Wolverine,
with you.
Rumor mill.
Roberto agrees with you, Wolverine, so I don't know if that makes you want to change your stance or not, but he says to agree with the caller, Ann Arbor's great.
Ann Arbor's, that's one I
Have
think.
Have you been there?
No. I just think that's one college football fans would like to go to.
Hmm.
I mean, I made fun of State College, PA, and to agree with John Reed, I just don't want to go there because it's a cult, but I'd like to see Happy Valley. I'd like to see the Big House. Like, I'd like to see the Rose Bowl someday, that kind of thing. Not, like, I would say definitely the Big House is on the list of stadiums you would like to watch a game in sometime. Maybe I'd put the Horseshoe on there, but probably not. Not as interested. But there are a few classic stadiums. Really, I mean, the team matters, obviously, but, like, that's a cathedral of college football, the Big House. That's a thing. I would also like to see how on earth they fit 111,000 in a single level stadium.
It's a big bowl. It's like a big cereal.
But yeah, like if you're in the last row, are you really like a mile from the game? Can you even see it? Like that's the good thing about Neyland. Like really not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah,
because it's stacked. It's vertical. But at Michigan, it seems like if you're in that last row, you need binoculars.
I love how Neyland goes up. I'd rather be higher than farther away.
Yeah,
like I've been in other stadiums or in the upper deck. And they like,
yeah,
they
it
angle
flattens
out. So far,
yeah.
It's brutal.
But I know. But I think Camp Randall's a good one. You know, they do the jump around thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State. But I've got some friends who went to Wisconsin. They said it's a really good place to go. I'd like to see it. I didn't mean to disrespect.
Would you like the things to do in Ann Arbor now?
I actually already pulled it up.
Oh, did you?
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I've got the Nichols Arboretum is the number one thing, 4.8 stars.
Explore the outdoors is the number one thing to do on visitannarbor.com. So basically, if you go to Ann Arbor,
early.
Just walk around outside.
Make sure we play them early in the schedule.
Kayaking, canoeing, and stand-up paddleboarding on the Huron River in the summer to cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, and ice skating in the cooler months. There's plenty to do near the charming city of Chelsea, just west of Ann Arbor. Some of the best mountain biking trails in the state wind through expansive state parks and rec areas. In neighboring Ypsilanti City, Ypsilanti is the name of the city. Yps are the first three letters. Ypsilanti,
mm-hmm.
Hiking trails and golf courses overlook Ford Lake and offer a one-of-a-kind recreational experience.
There's so many rec areas. It's incredible. How about Burr?
I'm okay. I like going outside. Going outside's good.
If the game's later in the year, how about Burr Park? An open-air ice arena. Baseball Diamonds and Grill.
I like
it. Picnic spaces offer year-round activities. You can grill and ice skate all at the same time.
Seems risky.
You can have your winter experience that way.
According to TripAdvisor, the number one thing to do in Ann Arbor is a bed and breakfast. So go outside and then go to sleep.
Mm.
Interesting.
You got this cobblestone farm and museum. It reminds me of Shroop Family Farms from The Office.
I don't know. I feel like if people came to Tennessee, I'd say, oh, you got to go to the mountains. You got to go see the mountains.
That'd be it.
Michigan Stadium, actually the top thing to do, naturally. Law Quadrangle. University of Michigan is 1 and 3. Hill Auditorium, the University... Basically, the only thing in Ann Arbor is the University of Michigan, it looks like. It's like five things in the top 15.
There's a lot of museums.
And then some parks.
There's some museums.
Everybody has museums, Nate.
Nah,
it's just local history. I don't know if I'm interested in that. I just go for the game. It's fine. No big deal.
Newberry Hall has medieval artifacts.
Neat.
Big castle guy. I think it's time for a break, Davey. Hit the button.
Ann Arbor, huh?
Nah, I'm out.
Welcome back to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Somehow we ended up on Michigan, which I guess is appropriate because one of the stories we wanted to hit on this week was Jim Harbaugh exploring the idea of giving players deferred compensation in NCAA football and, you know, pay the players. That's been kind of a running mantra for lots of people in the sport, in media, and really portions of fan bases as well. Tennessee still has what you said this yesterday. I think Tennessee still has
the highest like stipend,
to my knowledge, yep,
amount for players. They do get paid a little, but it's really just a cost of living kind of, hey, you know, there's, we know there are gaps in your scholarship and we want to make sure that you have some cash to fill those. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh says he wants to provide compensation for his players without making them full employees. That's one of the, I think the main challenges are schools are not for profit. There's all this, they're government entities in a way, or at least some are, not all, I guess. And then you had the, was it the Northwestern players that tried to create a union, and that kind of got, didn't work out. Then obviously there's the fact that there's college football players who bring in a lot of money for their school, but then there's all these other athletes whose programs actually lose money. So how do you handle all those? How do you kind of juggle and create a system where it works is really, really hard. Harbaugh said the football program is looking into the idea of offering deferred compensation to players through avenues like an all-access video series like the one Michigan did with Amazon last year.
They want to do Hard Knocks every year, which is what I recommended earlier.
Do a behind-the-scenes show. Last year's paid Michigan more than $2 million. Film the team, obviously, who are the main, you know, cast and characters mm-hmm. of the show. It's the football players. In any other industry, if you were the main cast of a show, you would get some previously agreed upon cut, either a flat rate to do it, no matter, you know, with no risk of how well or how poorly it does, or some flat rate plus kind of a commission. That's usually like yep. the Solo movies coming out. Wasn't that his deal for the original like remakes on the Star Wars? It's obviously he gets his salary for the movie, but then they get like a, you know, a mm-hmm. tiny percentage of the box office, and that's where he was going to make a ton of money.
Right.
This is kind of what Harbaugh's saying. Like, hey, these kids are the ones featured in these productions that make $2 million. And so this is what Harbaugh had to say, which I thought was a little weird. Quote.
Well, he's a little weird.
It's true. We're exploring that right now. Can we get $1,000 of stock in Amazon, possibly for deferred compensation? We're just kind of wondering if it's possible. We don't know if it is yet. We're just asking the question. He's wanting, because it's an Amazon film, for the players to get some type mm-hmm. of deferred interest in Amazon. You and I talked about this after the show the other day.
By the way,
yeah,
$1,000 in Amazon stock would be 2/3 of one share. So,
well, can we at least get them a whole share? Can they at least get one whole share?
I feel like
share?
We probably should give them a whole share. Is it maybe one share.
Is it going to split
that'd
soon?
That'd be $1,581.76 as of right now. Hmm. The $2 million divided by 85 scholarship players is $23,500 per player. So you could divide that out how you wanted amongst maybe seniors, juniors, and so on.
Well, I don't know if that was all profit. Like, you'd have, I guess, figure out what the cost was, right?
Well, I thought Amazon just gave the University of Michigan $2 million to do it.
To do it?
Yeah.
So that kind of was the profit?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Paid Michigan more than $2 million to film the team. So
right.
That was cost to the university.
Well, yeah. I mean, now so, it's so easy to put, I mean, we see everybody doing this, putting stuff behind like a little privatized paywall. Like, why could schools not say, hey, I mean, it kind of makes sense that the more fans you have, the more money you make, the more interesting your team is, those players are more valuable. So why would you not do like a website with a monthly fee, or you can purchase things in the website and that money would go towards the players? You know, like if Tennessee did a Hard Knocks and it was like, oh yeah, we're releasing, you know, 6 episodes of this Hard Knocks. They're each going to be 45 minutes. To view all 6, it's going to cost you $24.99. I think a lot of Tennessee fans would probably buy that. Could you use that money as some type of payment for the players? And I guess what he's saying is, since the NCAA won't let us do that while they're in school, can we give it to them once they leave or once they graduate? One or the other.
I think deferred payments on some level is brilliant. Like, if a player... You could even have it offset by NFL money. If you want to take the stance that, well, these guys are not, they're already getting a scholarship and they're being trained for a future job. Now, it might be a future job where a very small percent get that.
Right.
But it's, I mean, but other fields are like that too. I mean, a lot of guys go to college for a certain job and then try and go to the, you know, a master's degree and a doctorate to get a certain job. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more people that try that than actually end up in that profession. So the fact that there's a lot of football players trying to get in the NFL and only a few do is fine. But you could offset money if they make it to the NFL. So if I'm a football player and I, you know, play for 3 years and I'm a star and I go in the NFL and I make my millions, then maybe I don't get compensated by the university on the back end at all. But if I'm a football player and I play all 4 years and my body's broken, you know, if I'm Tiny Richardson at Tennessee,
yeah.
Maybe,
good example.
Maybe I've got my health care paid for from anything that was that anything that can be related to football at all is paid for by the university, and there's some deferred payment basically for my time I put in at the university. Because essentially these guys are going to school and working a job, and they're only being and they're being compensated for one by the other.
What's weird is people I think people don't realize how much time, especially because the 20-hour rule, man, that's not really a – it's like a recommendation. I mean, these guys, even when they leave, like they got homework and stuff to do that doesn't count as part of the 20 hours. Like, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of studying, of testing, of meeting time, of obviously practice time. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. There's, you know, weight room time. It is – it's almost like a – internship, but you're working way more than anybody who would be an intern elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like student managers for the football team, like if they're in sport management, they can use their, you know, being an equipment manager as part of their curriculum. I think you can get like 15 to 18 hours of credit in your junior and senior year.
You have to get 18 to graduate.
Is it 18? Yeah, okay, so you can... If you're doing enough different things, you can get 18 hours of credit for being a student manager for the football team. You don't get any credit academically for being a football player. Like, you have to go and do other things. You have to go sign up and do an internship with marketing or development or the ticket office or elsewhere. Like, they're almost punished, you could argue.
Well, and I wouldn't have any problem with it if every football program broke even. If every football program broke even because every football program had 30,000 people at games and had, you know, 1/1,000th the amount of people watching them on TV. But the fact is, these players are worth so much more than they ultimately end up with, unless they make it to the NFL and make their millions then. If they do that, then they've been trained well, then they've, you know, then don't pay them.
But there have been great college players that just don't pan out in the NFL for whatever reason, and they're never paid what they were worth in college. Like, they never see that.
I mean, Johnny Manziel, how much money do you think he made Texas A&M?
Manziel, Tim Tebow. I mean, well, A&M rebuilt their stadium after he won them 11 games, so right. I'd say he was worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. Not to mention the national notoriety that came with them beating Alabama because of him. Like, the only reason they beat him or they beat Alabama was because of Johnny Manziel. Like, it doesn't happen without him. I mean, there are the other guys on the team too, but he's just a great example of a guy who made a huge impact collegiate and never got anything really in the end. I mean, he got drafted and made some money, but not near what he was worth in college. Like, that's the problem with the college system is colleges are just kind of off the hook. Like, they don't have any responsibility to compensate players for what they are actually worth. I know some people will say, well, they get a scholarship. That's fine, but unless that scholarship is worth the $30 million that Johnny Football directly led to A&M making in 2011, he's undervalued and underpaid. In no other business model does that work.
I mean, there's players, there's Tennessee, like, you know, I don't know if Josh Dobbs will make – he's going to make some percentage of NFL money that he made for Tennessee. But, again, it is really hard to sort out how much of it was Josh Dobbs? How much of it was Alvin Kamara? How much of it was, you know,
players? You're absolutely right.
Tennessee, we looked at the revenue numbers earlier in the week. They made a ton of money off of, you know, players, and some of which aren't in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had role players playing important positions on teams that got the season ticket numbers to go crazy, as the 2016 season was completely, you know, everybody hyped up. Team was in the you know, top half of the rankings, all that kind of stuff. How do you weigh that? And then how do you compare it to a non-revenue sport, and does it even matter? See, I don't think it matters. I think you'd have to drop this whole idea that sports at the collegiate level have to be even.
And equal is not always fair.
I don't mean male and female. I just mean dollars and cents.
But that's the thing. Equal is not always fair. It needs to be fair. Like, the reality is playing a college sport does not entitle you to, frankly, to anything. But if you happen to be playing one that makes millions and millions of dollars directly because of you, I guess what I'm saying is maybe you should be. I don't know if that's deferred payment through Amazon. I don't know if that's stock. I definitely think there should be some type of insurance trust, either through the NCAA or individual universities, where health issues down the line after college football should be taken care of by the universities.
Why not let these universities – why not, like, scratch both backs? Let the university use the kid's likeness even more, and then just pay the kid when their likeness is used. Just pay them directly. So it's like, if Tennessee wants to trot Josh Dobbs all around, like they did anyway,
yeah.
Start charging more for it, and then give him a healthy cut of it. Everybody makes.
Well, you do
more
get
money.
A travel stipend when you move around. You get like $100 a day, eating costs and stuff.
Okay,
I'm serious.
Oh, I know.
So he gets something, $100 a day.
Jim Harbaugh's crazy, but at least this does kind of make some sense. Amazon's not going to give them stock, though. They might give them gift cards. They might even give them cash. They're not giving them stock.
All right.
It's kind of weird. All right. We'll come back with more. Stick with us on the flip side. 3 and Out is driven by Toyota Knoxville. Come back with more. Hour 3 next on the program right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Vision. It's a word used often in sports, meaning more than just to see. I'm Dr. Bruce Gilliland of IXL in Knoxville, where your vision is our top priority. Eyes are the windows to your world, but the brain is where vision really happens, which is why we take care to provide you the best eyesight possible. In addition to general optometry, we are vision rehabilitation experts, ready to care for all your vision needs. Come see us at IXL, 715 Callahan Road in Knoxville, or online at IXLTN.com.
Hey, it's Nate, the owner and GM here at Fox Sports Knoxville. To kick off 2018, we now broadcast live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, where it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Located in downtown Chattanooga, Mountain View Chevy is the number one Chevy dealer in all of East Tennessee, and we're proud to partner with them. We're big Tennessee fans. Mountain View Chevy is the home of the low price promise, where they'll meet or beat any advertised price or just give you the car. And if you need a truck, they have them. They're called the Silverado Truck Champions, with one of the largest truck selections in Tennessee, with Silverado's discounted up to $14,000 off. Located on 20th Street, right off I-24 in downtown Chattanooga, and online at mtnviewchevy.com. That's mtnviewchevy.com. Search the inventory, compare the prices, and remember, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy.
Jets Pizza in Farragut is West Knoxville's full-service family pizza place. Bring the kids in for pizza and sports, or head to the bar for fun with friends. With happy hour drink specials every day from 11 to 7, Monday night is pint night featuring $2 pints from 5 to 10, and Wednesdays mean half-price wings for dine-in customers from 5 to 10. Jets Pizza in Farragut, located at 11124 Kingston Pike, next to the Shrimp Dock and National RX.
Precision Lawn Services, Greater Knoxville's complete lawn maintenance provider, offering mowing, weed control, fertilization, overseeding, general landscaping, and more. Precision Lawn Services, committed to making your lawn complement your home or business. Your one-stop shop for lawn care and landscaping. Precision Lawn is the way to the greener side of grass. Call Russ Cooper at Precision Lawn Service, 423-836-6616. That's Russ Cooper at Precision Lawn Service, 423-836-6616.
Echelon Bicycles in Farragut is the barbershop of bike shops. Stop in, have a local beer at the bar, and check out their selection of Giant, Lightspeed, Focus, and the really cool Yeti mountain bikes. I'm Nate Hodges, and I've been riding my Giant any road from Echelon Bicycles with the kids on the greenways and all around town. Whether you love to tackle mountain trails or kicking asphalt on a road machine, Echelon Bicycles is your local bike shop, 138 West End Avenue in Farragut, and online at echelonbicycles.com.
Welcome back to Three and Out, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, WKGN AM 1340. As we head into the weekend, there's been a lot of smoke. There could be some good recruiting news coming up pretty soon. I know.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's what they say.
It's not always true. Something smolder. No actual flame.
Is that smoke?
Hmm.
Smoldering is smoldering smoke. I know this isn't the definition we wanted to get into, but
no, yeah, you can have smoke without an actual flame. Things can burn, I guess, without flame. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
like lava burns things, but lava's not fire. Does that make sense? Lava can catch things on fire, but it's not itself fire. That's all I'm saying. So where there's smoke, there may not be fire, but it could be a volcano.
In-depth analysis.
T's and P's out for Hawaii right now, who's dealing with one. That's how I know this. There is some really big news going on, Nate. Yesterday, it was announced that 2018 five-star defensive tackle Josh Belk was released or granted a release from Clemson to transfer. Apparently, his mother has some health issues or something. There's something going on here where Clemson felt it was okay for him to transfer away. The thought was that he was going to go to South Carolina. There is some speculation that Dabo may not allow a transfer to South Carolina because obviously Clemson and South Carolina play every year. This transfer, again, five-star defensive tackle Josh Belk, will be visiting Tennessee next weekend. If he so chose to transfer here, he would be eligible to play immediately.
No way.
Five-star DT. That would feel pretty good to steal one back from Dabo like that. Not the circumstances necessarily that I would choose, but to get a visit is a pretty big deal. A lot of South Carolina people think he's going to South Carolina, though. And what I'm saying is maybe Jeremy Pruitt can say we got some room for you over here.
There's definitely playing time
available in droves.
He's probably just stay on the field.
He's a former five-star prospect from Richland, South Carolina.
Richland.
I may have that town wrong. Sorry. It's Richburg, South Carolina, Louisville High School. Josh Belk, and he said that he told the paper in South Carolina, the state paper, which is in Columbia, which is, I mean, like the South Carolina paper, that he's still basically, you know, kind of wide open. He wouldn't lean either way to them. He says, I'm still looking. I'm still talking to my family and praying and making sure everything falls into place. He said he's spoken with a compliance official at South Carolina and also with the Gamecocks defensive line coach, Lance Thompson. So that name probably rings a bell.
Yep, sure does. Dang it.
He didn't mention who he had talked to from Tennessee. He plans to wait until August before he enrolls at the new school.
So this is not going to be a quick process, sounds like.
Yeah. He's 6'3", 309 pounds.
His high school coach, Will Mitchell, said he's leaving Clemson to be closer to home to help out a family member dealing with an ongoing health issue. How far is Clemson from Columbia?
I'm on it.
3 hours? No, not less than that. 2 hours?
Less? So Knoxville to Columbia further than Columbia to Clemson?
Yeah.
That really hurts my closer to home argument.
It's in South Carolina. He lives in South Carolina. It's definitely not closer. I don't understand that at all.
Is there anywhere in South Carolina that's closer to Knoxville than Clemson?
Yes.
Does that make sense, what I'm asking you?
Is there anywhere in South Carolina closer to Knoxville?
Than Clemson?
Yes.
That is closer to Knoxville than it is closer to Clemson? Can I be in South Carolina and get to Knoxville faster than I can get to Clemson from anywhere in the state?
No.
No.
I mean, maybe on a technicality because of the way the interstates are structured.
I'm not talking traffic. I'm talking distance traveled here.
No.
2 hour
Dang
drive.
It.
2 hours, yeah.
2 hours.
2 hours, 8 minutes.
Right now it's 2 hours, 51 minutes, but there's heavy traffic and you got like a 45-minute slowdown. So
2 hours, 8 minutes.
That's
normally
via I-26 West.
Yeah.
I still don't know if you know what I'm asking you.
Can you get to Knoxville quicker from anywhere in South Carolina? Then you could get to Clemson from that same place in South Carolina.
Okay, you do understand then.
Yes. And I would say, I'm saying I don't think so. Maybe the tip corner of South Carolina right up underneath Charlotte, only because you could jump on interstate and cut right across, and then getting all the way out to Clemson might be tougher. I don't know. But
so what you're telling me is that if he is from Fort Mill, South Carolina, it could be possible that Tennessee is closer to home than Clemson.
Yes.
Possibly.
Possibly, yes. There's a.
Okay.
You're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying that's all I needed. I'm just looking at the map here.
Fort Mill.
Okay, see, now I'm playing the Columbia game. So if he's from, stupid Smoky Mountains, making it really hard to travel.
Uh-huh.
Because what I was thinking is if he is from Lake Jocassee or Salem, South Carolina, it might actually be closer to Knoxville as a crow flies than it is to Columbia, which means, you know, closer to home would actually be Knoxville.
I've got extended family with Lake House in Salem.
But the fear here, you know, the fear there is that it wouldn't be unless you can fly a helicopter. Because, man, that's a straight shot to Columbia. Down 26. That's just a straight shot.
South Carolina, not a big state.
Not a big state.
No.
Needed it to be a little bigger, actually.
I don't understand. Because, okay, he actually is. I found where Richburg, South Carolina is. I've never heard of this place.
Yes.
It is on I-77 below Charlotte. So it actually is. It's slightly south of Rock Hill. And we all know about Rock Hill football players. They're always
Rock Hill,
good.
They love... There, that is so much closer to South Carolina. That is like 30 minutes from Columbia, South Carolina.
And it's still nowhere.
That's not good.
It's still nowhere near as close to Knoxville.
Not even close.
And I think I have to retract my earlier statement. Now looking at the big map,
even
if you're tucked right on the beltway of Charlotte, just barely into South Carolina, and you can take 26 all the way to 40, all the way to Knoxville.
Yeah.
I still think that's longer than out to Clemson. Although getting to Clemson sucks, so maybe that could be factored in. I mean, you know.
Well, he's leaving Clemson. The battle now is really with Columbia and the University of South Carolina.
Yeah, Richburg to Columbia is like nothing. I mean, it's.
I mean, you could walk it in less than a day and be fine. I was hopeful. But
what if Dabo says no? You can't
maybe
go.
Maybe there's better medical care.
It's 50
in
minutes.
Knoxville. Our healthcare professional has just chimed in. Maybe there's better medical care here, and they would be able to move the family here to take advantage of the better medical care.
I mean, where else is he going if he's going to be wants to be closer to home? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Clemson's closer to his home than I think even any of the big D1 programs in North Carolina. Like, if you get a transfer granted because you want to move closer to home, but it's not actually closer to home,
yeah,
how does that work?
Maybe he wants to play for Charlotte.
Well, if
then we have to play him this year.
Well,
again,
no,
if he terrorizes our offensive line.
If Clemson, is
you see what I'm saying?
So there's no way.
Dang it! Like Wake Forest might be closer. NC State, probably about the same. Duke, a little further.
It feels a little weird to be looking for a technicality when the guy has a sick family member.
I'm just
saying. Maybe we're sick.
No.
We're sick.
He wants to be closer to home.
And what I'm saying is I'm over here looking at, can Knoxville be closer to home
no.
than South Carolina
Not
or Clemson? And I don't think it can.
No.
But why is he visiting? If the rules are the rules, then he can't even visit us because it's not closer to home. So maybe he fibbed. Did he fib to Dabo?
Houston.
Maybe he got in trouble.
Home is where the heart is.
Ah, home sweet home to me.
Are we sure that the sick relative is in Richburg?
No, we're not. It's a great point.
What if it's a different place?
What if it's Sevierville?
I mean, their family's
could be Sevierville.
All,
you
want
to be closer to home? I know a place. Maybe they live here. Yeah, didn't think about that. He just said closer to home so he could help out. It's a sad story.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. We'll hit a break.
He's visiting next weekend, a 5-star D tackle.
I mean, what do we always say about recruiting? You get him on campus for a visit, anything can happen. They might recruit
if they get
against you.
First of all, would that be like the biggest deal of all time if they get a transfer 5-star freshman D tackle
who
can play right away?
This would be like adding him to the class people complained about that was, what, 19th?
20th, yeah, 19th or 20th. This would probably put you in the top 15. He's reverse recruiting. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow. Belt grew up a South Carolina fan. How the hell did he go to Clemson?
Dang. He wanted to win.
That money spins, bro. Yeah. That money spins.
This is.
Does he have to pay that back?
It's a weird story.
You pay that back?
I don't get this at all. I don't know. We'll come back, final segment, wrap up the week here on 3 and Out. Stick with us. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville.
Davey Hudson of 3 and Out here. By now, you've probably heard me talk about how working out at Gold's Gym has made a huge impact on my life. Now it's your opportunity to experience change with Gold's Gym. As a member of Gold's Gym, you'll enjoy access to the best coaches, personal trainers, and group exercise instructors in the industry. So stop into your local Gold's Gym for a free tour or visit them online at goldsgym.com and download a free 3-day VIP pass. It's time to leave the excuses behind. Gold's Gym is your path to fitness.
My friend John Fox wants to help you ride in luxury with Audi Knoxville. Go in and visit John at 9735 Kingston Pike in the Harper Auto Square and let him find you the best deal on the car of your dreams. Whether it's a newer pre-owned sedan, hatchback, or SUV, John Fox is going to get you a great deal. Get an instant trade-in value on your vehicle before you even step foot in the dealership at AudiKnoxville.com. 423-519-0206. Go see my friend John Fox. Audi Knoxville.
Tired of the same old when it comes to lunch spots in Knoxville? Well, head on over to Brown Bag and try some food with a purpose. At Brown Bag, they're committed to serving delicious, healthy food at reasonable prices every day. Whether you're eating at one of their two locations, picking up some of their bulk items, or having a catered meal delivered to your home or office, you'll experience friendly, fast service and delicious food made with the freshest ingredients. Find Brown Bag in Hardin Valley and downtown on Gay Street or visit brownbagnow.com.
Echelon Bicycles in Farragut is the barbershop of bike shops. Stop in, have a local beer at the bar, and check out their selection of Giant, Lightspeed, Focus, and the really cool Yeti mountain bikes. I'm Nate Hodges, and I've been riding my Giant any road from Echelon Bicycles with the kids on the greenways and all around town. Whether you love to tackle mountain trails or kicking asphalt on a road machine, Echelon Bicycles is your local bike shop, 138 West End Avenue in Farragut, and online at echelonbicycles.com.
Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top, ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half bear, the other half cat.
Final segment, 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. We head into the weekend. Talk Sports is coming up next at 10 o'clock with John Reed and Cody McClure. 24/7 Sports article said Belt grew up a South Carolina fan, and he was 100% crystal ball to Clemson or to South Carolina when he committed to Clemson.
Something ain't right.
Holy cow!
Maybe he got maybe South Carolina did him dirty. Maybe somebody said something or did something that really upset him. Maybe he's out now. Maybe he's out on South Carolina forever.
Will Dabo do Tennessee a solid since Tennessee's giving him so many good prospects?
Yeah, he owes us one.
He does.
He owes about 10. You're welcome, Trevor Lawrence. You're welcome, T. Higgins. You're welcome, Amari Rodgers.
Or
you're welcome, all the other people.
If Dabo blocks a South Carolina transfer, the other schools that offered Belt during the recruiting process included, listed first, Florida. Would that be worse? That'd be worse, right?
No, please don't even.
Florida, Auburn, Florida State, Louisville, LSU, Miami, NC State, UNC.
Was he interested in Tennessee at all?
Virginia Tech and Penn State.
Did he sign early? Was he an early enrollee?
Yeah, he's been at Clemson.
So that was the thing. He was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to come play for Butch either. He didn't know Pruitt was coming here.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the thing.
I like it.
He only had a couple of weeks. It was too late at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other teams? What are the other teams that he was interested in? Florida? Didn't we steal their D-line coach?
Auburn.
Boom.
Florida State.
Did we stole a coach from Florida State?
Louisville, LSU, Miami, NC State, UNC, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, and Penn State.
None from those other schools. No.
But those two.
Like, yeah,
we stole from
two
those two. So maybe
three.
He loved those coaches, and now they're in the same spot. That Lance Thompson. What a crook. Wow, you want to go play for him? He's a scoundrel, a scallywag.
It would have been Rocker.
He's a bad, bad man. You do not want to go down there and play for Lance Thompson. No, no, no.
Do we want to say this at this point?
No.
Oh.
No, we don't.
Sam.
But I will be very mad if he decides to go play for Lance Thompson.
Jeremy Pruitt and Lance Thompson, pretty close.
Pretty tight.
That's all I'll say.
They're pretty tight.
Just some reasons why he might not.
Almost like.
Didn't come back.
Might have called him.
Yeah. Might have
to been
come
told
home.
No. Might have wanted him real bad and got denied.
I don't know.
If he gets this kid.
I worked my sources. Man. I couldn't get that confirmed, but.
I've got it confirmed.
Do you? Okay.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
Oh, really?
No, but it's second horse.
Okay.
It's a horse who knows the horse.
I talked to a Lance Thompson family member. He said, I'm always the last to know, so never mind. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good get. In other good news, it was funny. We were talking about offensive firepower with Ramel Keaton committing. Was that yesterday or day before yesterday? Sounds like Tennessee might be in line for a few defensive commitments in the coming weeks. These things are always wishy-washy, the high school kids. But there is, let's just say there's three defensive players who are very interested in Tennessee that could be committing as early as today. Or over the weekend, and then potentially they delay because that's happened before where, you know, one kid commits, someone else commits, and then there's another kid who says, I'm going to wait a couple of weeks. But sounds like the momentum on the recruiting trail for Jeremy Pruitt is not only real, but substantial.
When does the countdown expire?
What?
Remember they, a coach?
Today?
It was a GIF. It was just a countdown GIF. Like it's not an actual.
I wish they would have created one.
It was 2 days, and it started on a Thursday.
Maybe,
so
maybe.
Tomorrow seems
maybe.
Like a
he probably
this
just
weekend.
He probably just did
countdown
GIF search
GIF and
countdown, and I bet you that's like one of the first ones that pop up. I'll do some research.
Yeah,
here.
You found out that's
working on it.
That's what it is.
Just a guess. It's just a hunch.
Well, the Big Orange Caravan will. Continue. It's good. It finishes up in the
Tri-Cities. It's not the first one that pops up.
Did he have someone in the marketing department specifically create?
Maybe he
GIF
did.
With
maybe
a
he did.
Countdown clock.
Because that's a pretty good countdown clock there too. That
yeah.
he could have used and didn't.
Uh huh.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
2 days is tomorrow, right? I believe so. This reminds. It's like end of the world stuff. You know, everybody predicts.
The Mayan calendar for recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is there's three guys on the line, and then now maybe a five-star D-tackle going to visit. Sounds like momentum to me.
I like it.
You guys going to watch the Royal Wedding tomorrow?
No. You going to watch the NBA playoffs?
No.
No NBA playoffs this weekend?
I'm just kidding. I'll probably watch that. Okay. I don't get the Royal Wedding at all, though. I wish we could have talked about it.
I think we still can next week. Like, it's not
after it's done?
Yeah. It's not
all right, we'll talk about the Royal Wedding.
Perfect. Talk Sports is next. John Reed, Cody McClure. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville.